You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, my name is Vaughn Armstrong. I've played more characters in the Star Trek universe than anybody, and I was Admiral Forrest. You are listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
My name is Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as always, is...
Tristan Riddell.
Tristan, I don't know if you can see on my webcam, but I have the whiteboard erased and ready to go, because this week we're going to do an episode completely on the fly, and we're going to fill that board up with ideas.
And guys, when we say on the fly, we mean exactly that. We have nothing in mind on how we're going to do this, what we're going to do, who's going to be in it, or anything like that, or where it's going to be in the continuity. This is purely on the fly. Like, we talked earlier and we said, let's do this, and we said, okay, and that's it.
Yeah, and that was 2 hours ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is all improvised live as you were hearing it. And we just have to put our minds to work and make it happen, which is the magic of these types of episodes that we do. It's so much fun because by the end of the recording, we have to have churned something out.
Something. It may not be good, but it's something, folks.
Well, and hey, I feel like half the time we do produce something that would make at least a decent enough pitch should we ever have an opportunity like that, you know, like... Hey, look, we have ideas. We could actually make this happen, and they're halfway coherent.
Yeah, I mean, I you joke that they're halfway coherent, but I will be the egotistical one and say I think they're pretty good and better than some stuff that's on TV right now.
Well, I was trying to be modest, but yes.
Well, out of the two of us, you are definitely the modest one, so I have no problem biting that bullet.
Fair enough, and I'll let you go ahead and... I don't know. Yeah, let's just actually speak the truth here. We're pretty damn good.
So, okay. So the whiteboard is clean.
It is.
No need to go...
No, I already did it. It's done.
I already did it. So, okay. And no one used Sharpie instead. It was all dry
erase.
No,
thank goodness. I hate it when people do that.
I despise that as well. And my wife is a teacher, so she knows when it actually does happen. It's just like, oh, God.
It's so hard to get that off. I've had to deal with that before.
All right, should we just jump right into it?
Let's jump in. Let's get this thing done. So, to kind of recap, when we've done this in the past, the characters that we've written stories for already are Kes, Chakotay, and Janeway.
All right, so I'm thinking that we should do Tuvok. I feel like he would be a natural step in line. I feel like Kes was an aberration. And, you know, if we wanted to go in order, Tuvok would be the person to focus on.
Sure. Tuvok doesn't get nearly enough love on Voyager, so let's give him some very much needed attention. Tuvok it is. The next obvious question, therefore, goes to when in the series are we going to explore Tuvok?
Well, I think that kind of depends on what.
Well, yeah.
You know, like if it's a Neelix and Tuvok buddy cop movie, you know, like it may be a little bit later on in the series than, you know, earlier.
Maybe. And you know what? Just offhand, I would love to see that.
A buddy cop movie with Tuvok and Neelix?
Totally. I want to see maybe even the movie poster of that. That would be great.
I feel like we pitch things on this network for poster ideas and Photoshop ideas just so we can put Aaron Harvey to work.
As if he doesn't have enough going on in his life already, but I know he listens to the show. He is an associate producer, and if the nerve strikes, have at it, Aaron. We love you for it. If not, I understand completely.
How about, before we do talk about what or when, let's talk about what has been done for Tuvok in the past. So, like, you know,
that's
there's
a
only
idea.
A handful of episodes that have been focused on Tuvok. I mean, we have... You know, flashback, of course, which is a big Tuvok one where we deal with his past. We have the Innocence one, I think that's what it's called.
Yes, with like the Mork and Mindy kids who Adrian reversed.
Yeah. Yeah, they age in reverse, and so we have a stranded story from Tuvok, a stranded away mission story and a monster story. We have one where he's hunting a killer, and it turns out it's him.
Yes, yes.
You know, we have that. We have an episode where he loses his ability to contain his emotions because he mind melded with Suter.
Yep, that was Meld.
And there's one where he lost his memory.
Yeah, that was something we talked about not that long ago because it was season 6.
That's right. And Tuvix, of course.
Oh, yeah, Tuvix. Can't forget that.
So what is missing? What's something that would be a nice companion to the other Tuvok stories?
I don't know if this is so much a companion, but maybe a continuation. I love it when Tuvok plays detective. Now, in the later seasons, he doesn't do this quite as often as he does in the earlier seasons. What if we did a Tuvok plays detective story in season 6 or 7?
Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
Okay. Boom. Done. So, now, the one kind of concession this decision makes is we have seen him do it before. It may be a little less in terms of character development because we know he is the head of security and he does know how to conduct an investigation. We already know that. That's not new.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there's still things we could learn, but maybe this is more of an action-y Tuvok episode. Maybe.
Ooh, action-y episode.
Just going to throw that out for right now. I mean, what we end up doing could be a complete reversal of that, but that's just sort of where I feel like it might veer as a result.
Here's an idea, and just I'm just pitching stuff to you. We don't have to go with it.
Do it.
I like your idea of an action-y episode, and I like your idea of a detective Tuvok. I think those two blended together could be quite nicely. Let's add some extra layers to that. What if Tuvok was undercover?
Now, this is not something we've seen much of.
Now, I feel like we've only seen it once before, and it was that I can never, ever remember the name of this episode, and you always have to tell me. Okay. It's with that one guy where Janeway gets the necklace and he puts the bowl on his head.
Resistance?
Yes, it's Resistance. You're right.
That one. Yeah, with
so
Joel Grey.
We kind of see Tuvok undercover there, but not really. You know,
yeah,
not
but no.
Really.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So what if we did that? And I think the reason why this situation is appealing to me is because what if it forces him to be illogical? What if it forces him to have a personality?
Oh, you're putting Tuvok in a tough spot there. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, this is good. It's challenging for him. That's always a good dilemma for a character to have.
And this would be good for season 6 and 7 because he's lightened up over the past 7 years.
A little bit. So, yeah.
So this would make sense for later seasons Tuvok as opposed to early seasons Tuvok.
Yeah. I think maybe in the later seasons he has much more of a capacity to not only recognize what he may need to do in this type of situation, but to actually do it and not feel like he's betraying himself. Does that make any sense?
Right. You're right. Because that's the thing, is that I've always wanted to see that. I've always wanted to, like, because they've said if a Vulcan needs to lie under direct command of a superior officer, they will and they can. They just don't lie on their own accord. Well, according to them. And
yeah. Well, they have to rationalize it somehow.
And so I have always wondered, what would it be like if a Vulcan had to pretend, if a Vulcan had to act? I mean, whenever we see that, whenever we see Vulcan improvisation, it's always stilted. It's always jokey. It's never realistic. But if Vulcans have such supreme control over their own emotions and they have such an advanced brain, you'd think that they would be fantastic improvisers as well as fantastic actors.
Yeah, you would think. So seeing this in action and being able to recognize that this is in fact what Tuvok is doing would be a lot of fun. I think we need to see that shift too, where we go from it's just Tuvok undercover to Tuvok recognizes he has to play a part and then transitions into playing a part. Now, why would he be doing that? Why is Tuvok undercover? I have an idea.
Okay.
Maybe somebody has abducted a member of the crew. Let's say it's 7 of 9.
Seven.
It doesn't have to be 7.
I'm thinking it has to be, I mean, this is a female-centric show. We got a female captain. let's have a male crew member be the damsel in distress.
Okay, fair enough. I'm never object to that.
So do we make it PDH? Do we make it Tom? I think, or do we make it Neelix?
Where... You read my mind that it was going to be Harry, but no, that's too easy. You know what? It would be interesting if it was Neelix, and so then Tuvok rescues Neelix, and then they have to escape together.
Yes!
Oh, this episode practically writes itself.
And then you've got a little bit of the buddy cop movie. Like, I just peed a little. It was so cool.
Okay. So that's what we have. So just to recap for all the listeners, we're only 10 minutes in, and we already have so much.
I know, it's awesome. Go us.
So, just to recap, this is Neelix gets kidnapped. Tuvok goes undercover to be a detective, so he has to solve who took Neelix, where they took Neelix, and he has to impersonate someone other than a logical person, void of emotion.
Yeah.
And then, but he rescues Neelix with plenty of time left in the episode, so that we get to see them banter back and forth. So maybe like the final act is them trying to get out of that situation.
Awesome. Perfect. That's a nice kind of way to block it out.
All right. So let's start at the beginning. So how does Neelix get kidnapped? I'm thinking bandits, you know, like maybe like bandits are trying to steal food from Voyager and they accidentally steal the cook because he... seriously, I might have been onto something. Okay, so
yeah, say it.
Okay, you know how bandits have raided Voyager before, and they've stolen food supplies. What if that happens again? But Neelix is actually in the cargo bay because he's trying to find some of his favorite spice that he hid or something. Or
sure.
Like he's,
oh my god,
he's
that
doing
would be
his
hilarious.
Inventory.
I like that a little better than the idea I had, which was, what if Neelix kind of got in over his head? He was trying to make a deal with, say, some alien mafia, where he thought he was really slick and was going to be able to negotiate this awesome deal to get Voyager some very needed supply, but he wasn't completely up to the task, and they decided to basically kidnap him and... Mm-hmm. I don't know, not hold him for ransom, but it's very obvious they're not going to return him without some sort of compensation.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want it to be Neelix's fault.
Okay.
You know, I don't want, you know, that there to be that air of, oh, do we really want him that bad that we have to go rescue him because he put himself into this situation?
Yeah. You know, it's true. We see so much of that.
Yeah.
Poor Neelix. Let's not do that. You're right.
Poor Neelix. And so, okay, so they raid, like, it's, the episode starts like any other, you know, like, maybe even Tuvok is in the mess hall, and Neelix is trying to be overly nice to Tuvok, and they're like, hey, you know, like, I want to make you a cake, or I want to do something for you because of some random holiday. And Tuvok's like, no, you don't have to do that. And Neelix's like, oh, no, of course I do. I'm going to go find the proper ingredients right now. And so he heads over to the cargo bay. Tuvok goes back to duty. Everybody's on the bridge. And then they're like, bandits at 12 o'clock, you know, and, you know, they start coming and they do a mass beam where it's just like a run and gun where it's not calculated. They just kind of, they somehow pierce through the shields and they have mass transporters and they just get whatever they can. And one of those mass beams for food had a Talaxian with it.
And they think, hey, great. Now you can cook the food.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they think they're like, oh, fantastic. We got a new slave, you know, like with somebody who can cook for us.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a happy accident.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that they head to a planet where, like, that's their hideout planet, but it's in, like, a sprawling metropolis, because we don't see too many of those in
Voyager. You're right.
It's
always, like, 200,000 people, you know, very mid-sized city.
Something very, like, a lower-level Coruscant. You know, where it's dreary, it's the underbelly, it's a bad part of town. And Voyager is able to track the ship, but they can't track the beam out. And they're being like, and they can't find Neelix because they have like, they're so advanced with beaming technology that they can suppress other people beaming them out.
Okay, fair enough. And let's, I don't know, maybe add another tech where they've got a way to mask, you know, Voyager's fingerprint or Neelix's DNA or sort of thing, because one Talaxian life form would be very easy to detect, but they've got technology to cover that. They're good there.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. And that's a great reason why he needs to be down there. I'm thinking also that someone else needs to go with him initially. I think that, okay. because Janeway would never send Tuvok on his own.
You're right.
So I feel like maybe it's Tuvok and Chakotay, and they go down. But the thing is, we get rid of Chakotay early in the process.
Okay, now why do we do that?
I think the reason why is because if we get rid of Chakotay, he's the one with personality, even though, you know, the message boards say he's pretty wooden. He's the one with personality. He's the one with charm, and he can think on his feet. And so, you know, like, if they needed to weasel their way into something, I feel like Chakotay could do it because he's not a Vulcan. And so we as an audience is like, oh, well, you know, like, if they ever get into those spots, then Chakotay can just get them out.
Sure.
But I feel like we need to remove Chakotay from the situation to stretch Tuvok's character and his abilities and also add some drama to it where he's just like, oh, crap, I'm on my own. So I'm thinking, like, if you want to go down this route, I'm thinking something like where Chakotay and Tuvok actually find the gang. You know, they're asking around. They grease a few palms. They, you know, they use their detective skills and they find the gang. And so, like, Tuvok has to enter the gang to figure it out. And Tuvok and Chakotay both have to try. But Chakotay fails and Tuvok succeeds. And so Chakotay's out.
Ooh. So they have to go through an initiation ceremony, basically.
Yeah, something like that.
Huh. Now, I wonder what exactly that would be, because would it violate, I don't know, a certain amount of Starfleet/Vulcan ethics to do something like that? I mean, or is it fairly harmless?
See, that's what I'm battling with, because the ideas that are coming to my brain are so not Star Trek.
Well, that's just it. I mean, we're talking gang activity, which is
pretty
ruthless, often violent, and definitely against Starfleet policy.
I'll tell you the thing that first popped in my head, and I'm not suggesting this in the least. So I want to say that outright to you and to the listeners. I'm not suggesting that we do this. This is just the first thing that popped in my head, because in 24, the show 24 with Jack Bauer, in season 3, at the beginning of season 3, we find out that Jack Bauer is actually addicted to heroin. And the reason why he's addicted to heroin is because he had to infiltrate a drug gang, and the only way that they would believe he was one of theirs is if he did drugs in front of them and did them regularly.
Ooh.
And so for the rest of the season, you know, like, he's really, you know, he has a hard time going forward.
Idea. What if Tuvok has to do a similar thing where he has to take a really addictive substance that these gang members really like, only he knows that his Vulcan physiology is immune to it.
Oh, genius.
So he's
going to
metabolize
it
just fine. But whereas Chakotay is like, nope, I need to go to sick bay. I'm about to throw up and pass out at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think Chakotay should do it at all. Where, like, Chakotay realizes that this is going to, like, burn his nervous system from the inside out. Where, like, humans will not survive this.
Yeah, you're right. They have a little conversation where Tuvok says, don't worry, I've got this. I can take it. You get out of here.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, just that's bounce. Such a good idea.
Okay, yes. There we go. That's
bounce.
Why he's in.
Tuvok starts speaking the lingo. He's like, just bounce.
I want him to say that specifically. Bounce, Chakotay.
Yeah, get your illogical ass out of here.
He's going to put the smack down.
Yeah, the tattooed terror fails again.
Oh, so sad.
Maybe that's how we bring out his name again. He says, he's like, hi, I'm the tattooed terror.
Which is the least convincing delivery of dialogue ever.
I know, right? Yeah.
Hi, I'm the tattooed terror. How's it going?
I'm the tattooed terror. Coming at you at 5 o'clock on Wednesdays.
I was just going to say, that sounds like a really horrible failed radio announcer.
It really, really does. Okay, so that's what happens. We're painting with broad strokes here.
We are. We're not going to get down to, like, line by line scripting. We never do with these, but we've just got to get the big picture in place. So Tuvok is in the gang now.
And Chakotay's out.
And that's the transition then. That's when he realizes he's got this part to play now. He's got to be a gang member.
Now, we have to come up with a reason as to why he needs a personality. Because, like, whenever when he played undercover in, you know, to go into the Maquis. Actually, that would be a really fun scene, is when Janeway is talking with Tuvok and Chakotay about going down and being undercover. Chakotay can look at Tuvok and go, yeah, you've done it before, you jerk.
I would love that scene. That is like an essential missing scene that, man, yeah. I really want to see that now. That would have been so great. They're all in the mess hall just having little sips of their tiny coffee cups. And yeah. We know you have experience with this, Tuvok. You damn jerk.
Exactly. It kind of reminds me of that line where Chakotay says, is like you were working for Janeway. She was working for the Cardassians. Was anyone on that ship working for me?
Yeah, so good. Pretty much like that, only more outbursty.
What? Okay, so as I was saying, like, we need to give Tuvok a reason. So is this kind of like, tell me if this is lame, but, you know, like in previous times, it's just like, oh, he's a Vulcan. So, you know, like, even if he's undercover, he's just an undercover Vulcan. Well, these people don't know what Vulcans are or what kind of baggage they bring to the table. So is there, tell me if this is lame, but what if that race doesn't trust somebody who doesn't have a good sense of humor, or doesn't trust somebody who is logical all the time? Or what if they trust outgoing personality? And because, you know, there's always that thing within races where they're like, they appreciate certain traits. That might be too general. I don't know.
I think actually we need to go the opposite way and make this a little bit of an easier transition for Tuvok, where they observe him and say, you don't get too worked up about anything, do you? And Tuvok is just like, no, I'm cool. And instead of being kind of more outgoing and emotional, for him, it's he's cool under pressure. He can handle stressful situations, and he doesn't react in kind of like an outbursty fashion, which I think would do him well in a gang.
But the thing is, though, that kind of goes against our original premise. Are we revising our premise?
Well, yes and no, I suppose. I'm just thinking him being emotional might be a little too much. Or maybe he's got a really subtle joke and, like, it takes him a beat to get it, but then they realize, hey, you really are funny. Okay, you're cool. I don't know. Is that too subtle?
I'm glad we're talking about this now, because I think this is where it's going to come into play. And either we continue our original premise, which isn't set in stone, or we abandon it and do something else. Now, I think you come up with a good idea where it's like he would do well in a game because he's not a hothead. He, you know, like he can cool his jets and he can think logically. And so he can analyze the situation. But I do like the idea of Tuvok having to stretch himself. I feel like that adds to the drama of, is he going to be able to pull this off? Because we know he can pull off cool. We know he can pull off collected and logical and not being a hothead. We know that he can do that. But can he stretch his own personality to actually have a personality? I feel like that's where the drama can come from.
You're right. And that's exactly why we need to do the original premise. Like, as I heard you saying that out loud, I realized I stripped away all of the challenge that we would have given Tuvok in this episode if he would just keep his cool, if he would just be good on his feet and good in a fight. Because we know he can fight. He's the head of security.
Yeah.
So
let's come up with a better situation than what I said. You know, like, let's think of something more clever than just, oh, races, you know, this race particularly likes humor or something like that. So
what if, say, the gang leader tells a joke and his cohorts are just laughing and they're rolling on the floor? I mean, it's absolutely hilarious to them. And even though Tuvok doesn't necessarily get it, he joins in to fit in.
There you go. There you go. Yes. What if the gang leader is a jokester? Like, he's constantly telling jokes. He's constantly, like, it's that stereotypical, like, oh, why aren't you laughing? Do you not get it? Oh, okay. Come on. Look at this guy. Go screw yourself. You know, that kind of person. That's how it starts. It's like, he's like, okay, you're in, you know, like, he says you're in the gang, and then he cracks a joke and everybody's laughing their asses off, even though it's not that funny, because he's the boss.
Right. You make him happy.
And Tuvok catches on to this and realizes that he needs to laugh along and tell a joke. And maybe, like, we see it in his eyes where he's like, oh, I got to play this different.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's going to be undue attention on him.
Yes. And he absolutely does not want that. So we see him make this stretch. And I think it's just as shocking to us in this instance as it would be any other. that he's laughing at a joke and he is still himself. He's mm-hmm. just accommodating to play the part.
It's kind of like when Data laughs at a joke or when Data goes along with a bit. Like when we see Data act angry, that's actually all he's doing. He's just acting angry.
Yeah, it's the mechanics. It's not actually an emotional response.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think Vulcans would be great at this. This is why I think it would be fun to have seen this. Yeah. Because, like, you know, somebody could even, you know, even after the episode, Chakotay or Neelix could say, like, you know, I had no idea you could do that. And he says, like, why wouldn't I be able to? You know, like, I have control over my emotions. You don't.
Yeah, it's just I choose not to 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's a great idea. I think that's the road we'll go down. So,
all right.
Now, in every single infiltration movie where a cop goes undercover, they have to do a job together.
Uh-huh.
So what is this job?
That is a good question.
It's got to be local, I think. Oh, actually, no, it doesn't necessarily have to be local. What if it's another raid? But like maybe it's like another raid on Voyager or another raid on a ship or something like that. And he has to go along with it. Like he has to steal from another ship in order to stay in the gang to find Neelix.
Okay, that's fine because we could make that right later on.
Yes. Yes, we could.
So again, kind of shocking, like, wow, Tuvok, you're actually going to do this? But at the same time, we know he's not going to really lose himself in this.
Right, yeah, it's not like he's going to get a taste for thievery and like and go back to that lifestyle.
No, not Tuvok. So he's doing what he has to do in that moment. But, you know, deep down, we know he's going to be okay with this. I think maybe he and Neelix make their escape, they find a way to get the people that they're going to steal from in this scene back. You know, return their supplies or something.
There's a couple ways that we can do this. So now that Tuvok is a part of the gang, is he really a part of the gang? And he knows where Neelix is already because he's like, oh yeah, we totally stole this cook. You know, like, come over here, see this guy, Tuvok. This guy is ridiculous. Do we have a scene like that? Or does he have to do this one job first to really cement himself as a member of the gang before he finds out where Neelix is?
Boy. Yeah, it almost seems like maybe we have to have some sort of next step because it would be a little too easy for him to be in just by laughing at the joke.
Or and doing the fake drugs and everything like that. I'm also thinking that this could be another opportunity. Like if he does this job, then it serves two masters where it solidifies him in the gang and it also gives him a better glimpse at their transporter technology.
Ooh, so maybe this will help him learn what he needs to know later to rescue Neelix.
That's right, where he can send that information to Voyager, where he says, it's like, okay, when I let you guys know where we are, you should be able to use this information to break through. You don't have much time, figure it out. He doesn't know where Neelix is yet. They're not showing him off. He says, he's like, okay, well, you know, like they have to wait like maybe a day, like say, maybe they say like, oh, you know, tomorrow we're going to go raid this other ship. You know, like you got to help us. And then maybe Tuvok, you know, like while he's that night, he says, he's like, man, you know, like I'm really hungry. You know, like you got anything to eat around here? And he says, he's like, you know, like there's some scraps right here, but we'll have, after we do a job, we always have a huge feast. And, you know, like we'll get you something to eat tomorrow. But right now you can just have this power bar. And then so like he knows that that'll be his moment. Like that, like if he can get to the feast, then he'll be able to get to Neelix.
Right, because Neelix will be unwillingly cooking things up.
Yes, yes.
Perfect, perfect. That's exactly the kind of, I don't know, convenient situation we need.
Yeah. All right, so they're on the job. They're raiding the ship. Like, Tuvok's on the ship with him. He's helping out. He's at a console. And they go to raid the ship. Now, is it all remote? Like, do they never leave their ship? Or do they actually have a raiding party this time?
Ooh.
Where, like, Tuvok has to face the people he's stealing from.
That makes it a little more difficult, right? He has to look his so-called enemy, in the eye.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's too much or not. No, it's not, because you know why, when he's reflecting at the end of the episode, he's going to talk about that scene where he feels like he almost could have gone too far at that moment and had to just believe that he would be able to make it okay in the end. To like, the ends justify the means.
Or what if we actually see him make it right at the end, where he delivers the goods back to them by hand and says, you know, I'm sorry that this happened. My buddy was in trouble and I had to play the part, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, whether those aliens believe him or not, that could be another case entirely. But let's just say Tuvok is going to be able to weasel his way through this and it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Like, I could totally see the aliens going, what, are we supposed to thank you? You know, like, like you stole from us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks for the stuff that belongs to us, that we already had, jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of like it.
Okay, so that'll be like one of the ending scenes. And so there's for some reason they have to do a physical raid where they actually have to like slap the goods with a transporter spawner or whatever it's called, amplifier. And maybe he sees a family, you know, like, you know, because, you know, young Ooh. Children always make it more dramatic.
Yeah, you're bringing on the family angle. You're going to deprive children. Oh,
yes,
how
yes,
dare
that
you.
That is what Tuvok's going to do. Is like, by stealing this, he's going to deprive children, and of like food or medicine, something that just really tugs at the heartstrings.
I love it. Let's break everybody's heart.
And I think like people will go back and say like, "What the hell, Tuvok? Really?
Yeah, you're going off the deep end, dude."
Yeah,
but I love
then,
it.
Like, he makes it okay because of all the reasons that we stated before.
Right, right.
Okay, so they're back home. They successfully pulled off the job.
Yep. And they're going to feast.
And they're going to feast. What's that look like?
I think it's about as joyous of an occasion as we're going to see in this whole thing. I mean, they are so freaking happy. They're doing their gang, like cocaine or whatever it is, getting so high and happy off their butts, and then feasting to their heart's content, to the point where they kind of just... they get so drugged and full that they all end up falling asleep, except for Tuvok, because he is immune to the drugs. So that's when he and Neelix make their escape. How about that?
Sounds good to me. Now, okay, so Neelix Tuvok and Neelix are finally together. They're all asleep. Tuvok gets up. He tries to break him out, but he triggers an alarm. Like, maybe there's some sort of collar around Neelix, or some sort of wristband or ankle bracelet. Ooh. Or something like that.
Of course there would be, yeah.
Tuvok's able to rip it off, or like just pull it off, and then alarms start going off. And so everybody starts to wake up. And so thus is the action part.
Right. And they're just slow enough to wake up because they're in such a freaking like dubious trance that gives them a little bit of a head start to work their way out and escape, of course, on the skin of their teeth.
Yes, they escape at the skin of their teeth. But I need to see Tuvok kick some butt. Like, I need to see him do those martial arts we see him do.
What if he has to beat up the gang leader? Where the gang leader's like, I thought you were one of us. I thought you were going to be my right-hand guy. And Tuvok just gives him a big punch in the face.
I like that idea, but I think it needs to be a little bit more epic than that. Where, like, what if Tuvok makes his way through some guys, where like it's like three guys are coming at him and he just dispatches them like they're nothing, and Neelix is just like hiding in the corner like, holy crap. And
and
then the gang leader comes out, and you know that this guy knows how to fight. This guy is a little bit bigger, you know, like he's pissed. And instead of just one knockout punch from Tuvok, it's actually a little bit choreographed and looks a little cool.
Okay, cool, why not?
Think like a little Tsunkatse action going on between the two of them.
Carrying on from last week. I like it.
That happens, and he wins. You know, he dispatches the gang leader.
Right.
And Neelix and Tuvok are about to leave, but then Tuvok's like, we can't leave all this behind. And so they reach out, and they get out of the field. You know, they reach out to Voyager, and Voyager's able to go in, and he said, he's like, oh, you know, like, you know, Voyager to Tuvok, we realize that you're outside of the field, prepare for beam up. And he's like, no, don't beam us out just yet. Beam down some transponders, or beam down some, you know, transporter amplifiers.
Yeah. Pattern enhancers. That's what I think.
Thank you.
Them.
Pattern enhancers. Jeez. I couldn't think of that. And, and then Voyager's just like, are you sure? We don't have a lot of time. You know, like we only have this window for a certain amount of time or whatever. And Tuvok's like, no, this has to happen. And so him and Tuvok run back into the lion's den, and they just start slamming, you know, pattern enhancers onto all these boxes, just going through
the things,
like crazy.
Yeah.
On all the things. And then they tap their comm badge and they say beam out, and that's right when like some of them start to the gang leader starts to wake up, and then right
yes.
They of course shoot through the transporter beams, but nothing yeah. happens because they're out at the last second.
Yep, that is exactly the scene that was appearing in my mind. So let's go with that. I have an idea for when they're talking to the people that got robbed.
Okay.
Not only does Tuvok, you know, return the goods, and they say, "Well, thanks, but you know, why should we give a darn about you?" Because he's going to help them prevent from getting robbed again.
Oh.
He's going to give them the encryption technology that'll outsmart these gang members. And that way, they're going to be a little more safe. And that's how he's going to make it right.
That's perfect. That's great. Absolutely great.
Okay, so there we go.
There we go. So it all comes full circle. Not only does he apologize, but he makes it right.
So Starfleet.
Now, is that the ending scene, or do we need to have a little bit more denouement with him in the mess hall with Neelix?
I think the scene with Neelix has got to be the coda. So as soon as they get beamed back up and everybody's checked out, everything is okay, Tuvok says, okay, we need to return these goods to them, and I need to speak to them personally. So we see him do that.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're a little hostile toward Janeway. She introduces herself. I'm Captain Catherine Janeway, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah. Yeah, one of your people stole from us, and we want to try him in our court of law. And then out comes Tuvok, and he says, listen, I have your goods. I will return them. Here's what I was doing. He kind of just does a brief explanation, and they say, you know, basically, thanks, but whatever, and you're still a jerk, and we still want to try you. And he says, I understand, and here's how I want to redeem, and, you know, go through what I just said a moment ago. And they say, okay, now we believe you. Now just please get out of here.
Yeah.
Be on your way.
And then Neelix comes onto the bridge with that cake that he was going to cook for Tuvok. Before he got kidnapped.
Actually, or does Tuvok go to the mess hall to maybe just, you know, check in on Neelix and see how he's doing? He's being a little compassionate. And Neelix says, I was just finishing up something for you. Have a seat.
Oh, that, yeah, that's what I preferred, but I thought you were saying you wanted to end on the bridge with them talking to the
aliens. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not on the bridge at all. I envisioned the scene with Tuvok and Neelix in the mess hall, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the scene on the bridge that you described needs to happen word for word, just like that. But then we go, like, Tuvok goes and checks in on Neelix in the mess hall, and then, yeah, Neelix goes, oh, I got something for you.
Yeah.
As a little thank you.
Yeah. So he runs back into the kitchen, pulls something out, and what is he going to make for him? Do we need to get that specific?
I don't know if we need to get specific. I mean,
some Vulcan thing he loves.
Some Vulcan thing he likes. Yeah, what, like maybe he actually gets the recipe right for plomeek soup or something like that.
That would be really funny because we've seen him try that before and he's overspiced it so much that Tuvok finds it repulsive. So maybe we enhance that aspect of things where, guess what? I didn't put any spice in it whatsoever. And he thinks, like Neelix says, and it tastes awful. I think you're going to love it.
And that can even tie back to with Tuvok pretending to have a personality and being a jokester and everything like that. And he says, he's like, and Neelix asks a question. He's like, hey, is this experience, like maybe he makes him two bowls. He's like, this is the recipe that I came up with for plomeek soup. This is the recipe that you've always wanted. You know, like, has that experience changed you at all? You know, like, do you feel like you've loosened up a little bit more? Do you feel like maybe jokes aren't so bad? You know, like, which one would you rather have? And he picks up the plain plomeek soup, and he's like, this will suffice, Mr. Neelix. And then he goes and sits down.
The thing is Neelix wasn't around when Tuvok was laughing at that joke.
Oh, that's true.
So how does he know that?
Just from the stories that he told, I don't know. You're probably right.
I think it's just a matter of, you know, Neelix catering to Tuvok and his taste buds, and Tuvok gives him a genuine thank you, and Neelix says, well, you saved my life. This is the least I can do, or something, you know, something to that effect of thank you and thank you.
I think you're right. Simpler is better. I think you're right. Well, I think that's it. So now we got to name it.
Yeah, we can zoom out on the two of them eating in the mess hall, and then Voyager's just sailing on its merry way, and credits. What do we want to call it? Okay, thinking here. This is always, it seems like the hardest part sometimes.
Undercover Chef.
That sounds like a reality show.
I know, that's why I said it. I don't actually think that.
Undercover Chef, oh my god. No. But it would be fun to tap into the whole undercover aspect of it.
It could just be undercover. It could just be the word undercover. Because I don't think an episode's ever been named that.
Yeah, I think Voyager definitely loves its one word episode titles. And if we want to go for something kind of boring like that, we sure can.
I think you're right that undercover on its own is a little too boring. What about Incognito?
That's perfect. I could see that as a title on the screen for a Voyager episode. And it has to do with the undercover aspect of it. Let's do that. Let's keep it simple and go with that.
Yeah, because like if you look at some of Voyager's other titles, it's like it's Unforgettable, Timeless, Gravity, right. Relativity, Warhead, Equinox. I feel like Incognito totally fits in there.
It really does. Sometimes Voyager's titles are the most imaginative things, and I feel like this straddles the line of not being so obvious and boring, and then like something actually like really creative and amazing. We're in between, and that is right where we need to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so boom, Incognito is written. It is ready for a script treatment, a teleplay. So Tuvok going undercover is not the only thing that we're talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
You've heard Chief Trip sign on. I'm serious, Ken. Actually, out of the chair, please.
Okay. God.
I guess the Commodore has the con!
Earl Grey.
Did you really write down Groppler Zorn on this list?
I was just kidding.
This is before he achieved Groppler rank.
He was only a Soplar. He wasn't a Groppler lad.
What fruit did he like before he got to apples?
The orb.
I want to hear Worf give a command sometime like 1/4 ramming speed. And then someone says, Captain, regulation specifically states that we cannot go at 1/4 ramming speed while we are in orbit of a planet.
The ready room.
To what extent is this episode, the writers and producers of Deep Space Nine turning the mirror back at the fans? I think all of us Star Trek fans at one point or another probably retreat into this universe we love, Star Trek, that is, it's a fictional world.
What are you talking about, Zachary? Are you suggesting that like fans might decide to buy microphones and like talk about it like it's real for hours on end?
To the journey!
Next one in line is Spirit Folk, and we already agreed that that is just not necessary for anybody, and let's not torture them with it. Good, let's move on.
The characters in the Fairhaven Hollow program begin to suspect the Voyager crew after they witness several supernatural occurrences. Commentary, Trek Stars.
Tokyo Drift really is the perfect subtitle. Like, you could literally put Tokyo Drift onto the end of any movie, and it would instantaneously become a movie that you would have to see. Citizen Kane, Tokyo Drift.
The 602 Club.
I hate it when shows that are grounded in reality, but obviously they're not, and they have their characters go through socially important experiences.
Literary Treks.
It is very much every one of the characters, who finds themselves sort of pulled into the conflict that's the heart of this story. They are reacting to a fear of the other.
Meta Treks.
I'd love to answer your question, but I can't get the visual image out of my mind of B. Arthur and Betty White in Starfleet miniskirts and go-go boots.
I can totally picture the Golden Girls as Klingons.
Melodic Treks.
What I decided to do was not only would I pick a 6 degree of separation, not only would I do it musically, but I was only going to do movies that were composed by people who had composed for Star Trek.
Saturday Morning Trek.
Dorothy had a little bit of a fit with the animators. They had said over and over again, there is no moon in the Vulcan sky.
I think it was like the first episode that aired of the original series when they mentioned this, because Uhura walks up to Spock and she's like, tell me I'm beautiful. Tell me that I would look good in your moon. And he's like, Vulcan has no moon. I'm not surprised.
That is an uncanny Uhura.
Continuing mission.
Yeah, and of course, another great thing is when it's all finished and you look at it and go, yeah, we made that together. Yeah, that's one of the greatest moments. And people respond to it and say, oh, that's pretty well made. The effects are great. The actors are great, even though they're Dutch trying to speak English, right?
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We have new Trek Talk coming to you every single day of the week. Oftentimes these days, it's even more than one podcast a day. That's pretty amazing. It all happens thanks to those of you who support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm. Consider becoming a monthly subscriber. This stuff does cost money to distribute, even though it is free to download. So any help that you can give us, we drastically appreciate it. So, on TTJ, we especially want to thank Bruce Lish, Aaron Harvey, Jamie Deuce, Kenneth Tripp, and Dante Hopkins. They're associate producers on TTJ, so they help us out especially, and we thank you for your support. Now, another great way that you can support us is by writing us a review on iTunes, and we have a nice little handful of people to thank who have, they've all given us 5 stars on iTunes, which is awesome, and they've written us reviews in the US iTunes store. So let's thank those people, and they are Rugcutter305, Oreo Cookie Cow, and Synchro Skate. So they are all awesome people. Thank you guys so much for writing us reviews. What are you laughing at?
Well, no, I'm pretty sure that Oreo Cookie Cow and Rugcutter305 must know me because they popped up on Nerd Nuptial and they popped up on the Senate floor.
Aha, so they're fans of yours.
I do believe so.
That's cool. Spreading the love. I like it, Riddell.
Thank you to you guys very much for giving us reviews into the journey, as well as my other shows. We greatly appreciate it. So thank you.
Totally. Totally. Thank you so much. I love hearing, especially, we get this all the time, but I never get tired of hearing it, how even if Voyager isn't the reviewer's favorite show, they listen to us and they love us. They appreciate Voyager more because of us. I mean, really, I think that's kind of the mission of this show, is just to have fun and enthusiasm and appreciate the show for what it is. And absolutely, if we're doing that, hey, you know what? I'm so happy. So I will never, ever get tired of hearing that, no matter how many reviews say it. I think it's true, and it's nice to get confirmation from the listeners that, yes, in fact, that is what we're doing. Well, we wrote another episode on the fly, and now we get to focus on next week. What are we doing?
Next week, we get to focus on even more creativity, where we get to create an entire alternate universe around
what?
Voyager, because we're going off of an episode suggestion. This has come from several different people, but one most recently during our TTJ AMA, and that's what if Voyager was in the J.J. Abrams universe. And so whether you hate it, whether you love it, it doesn't matter, because it's going to be fertile, fertile territory to figure out what that would look like. But you'll have to tune in next week to find out.
That's right. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!